The final out has been made. Let's talk about what just happened. The good and the bad. It's time for the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragaway in Union Grove, with the franchise, Tim Allen, on The Fan. If you need doors and windows, go to PellaWI.com.
It is a final from American Family Field, and the results are again good. A Brewers 5-1 victory, and that is not the bigger story. The bigger story is, well, a near no-hitter for Freddy Peralta and the Milwaukee Brewers. So we'll have a conversation about that. Welcome in, everybody. It's the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin post-game show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. There's the Polish pipe bomb, Jeff Orlowski. My name is Tim Allen. 5-1, they get the win, but more importantly, they get the pitching again. Freddy Peralta, 7 1/3 of no-hit innings. And who do you blame? Raise your hand. We ask this all the time on, well, occasionally the Brewers do get a near no-hitter. Raise your hand if you were the one that jinxed it. Now, I heard Jeff Levering on Bally Sports Wisconsin say it. I did not hear Bill Schroeder say it. I heard Lane Grindle on the Brewers Radio Network say it. I did not hear Bob Uecker say it. So what does that tell me? Well, it's maybe an old school philosophy that you don't mention it. But Brewers do. The most important thing is they get the victory to get back to 5 games over .500. Couple of home runs in this game. Again, the magic mark is 4+ runs in this occasion here. For the last week or 8 games or so, they've been averaging just over 5 runs a game. That is the most important thing. And Freddy Peralta now at a 6-1 mark and an ERA of 2.25. That is just a near miss to Corbin Burns, 2.24. That's a little bit behind a Brandon Woodruff at 127. This is amazing pitching by the Milwaukee Brewers here on June 4th of the 2021 championship season. Want to get your reaction here to Freddy Peralta and what you would have done. I can break down a little bit on the no-hitter when it was lost there with one out in that eighth inning. I think pitch selection would have been changed for me. And Joe West, dude, come on. Anything with a performance like this, anything close, anything borderline, doesn't it go to the pitcher throwing a no-hit? Like, you didn't know that there was a no-hitter going on here, Cowboy Joe? He's squeezing during a no-hitter. And I don't understand that part, because the walk there in that eighth inning had some super questionable calls. The Ahmed at bat, maybe not so much. But the one before that, come on, Joe West. Really? I mean, I get the low strike. That hasn't been called all year long. In fact, we can go back to last year. That low strike is just not gonna be called. I don't know if umpires got together and decided that, hey, man, we're just going to give up on that low strike zone. That's fine, whatever. But this was left and right. Now, you did have Ahmed set up, Freddy Peralta and Omar Narvaez. He was flailing at the off-speed stuff. He was flailing at the change. He was out of sorts. He drops to a knee in one of the swings. You had him set up for the high fastball. And I hate to break this all down on sort of a negative stance, but that's how no-hitters are made right there, with pitch selection and how you set these guys up. Ahmed was set up for a high fastball. There's no way he could protect that zone right there. Now, I was during the late innings of this near no-hitter by Freddy Peralta, I was texting back and forth with a former Brewers pitcher. I'll leave that nameless. And he agreed with me. He said there was no way, and you know, his text said, there's no way he could protect the high fastball during that sequence. You had him set up. Instead, you went with the off-speed stuff, and he got you for soft contact. But, you know, again, what a performance from Freddy Peralta, and what a year thus far for Freddy Peralta. 9 strikeouts, 7 1/3. He allows 1 hit, 1 run, three walks, and those nine punch-outs, 109 pitches. How far would you have gone with him? Let's say he gets through that eighth inning. That's, say, 114 pitches. Were you throwing him back out there? Your thoughts and reaction on another Brewers victory, as well as the performance from not only Freddie Peralta, but if we want to roll these, the big three, you know, you hear that term a lot in basketball, and everyone talks about the big three. Well, don't look now, baseball, but the Brewers have a pretty damn big three. And we're over a third through the season here. By the big three, the ERAs are 127, 224, and 2.25 for Woodruff, Burns, and Peralta. That's just outstanding. I mean, that's just, we haven't seen something like this in a long, long time. And also, we'll have a little fun a little bit later on, 70s weekend at American Family Field, as the Brewers take on the Diamondbacks to take the first two games of this four-game set. And I'll go back to the memory bank here with the 70s memories of the Milwaukee Brewers a little bit later on. And as a matter of fact, I grabbed this from JS Online, the all-decade team for the 70s for the Milwaukee Brewers. We'll go around the diamond and have that for you a little bit later on. But, man, close, but no cigar. It shows you how tough a no-hitter is. And I know there's been six this year. Seven if you include the Mad Bum. But it just shows you how difficult it is in a number of ways. I mean, these guys are making defensive plays for you. You're going to need a few of those on a no-hitter. You're going to need a great game call by the catcher. Obviously, you're going to need the good pitching. You're going to need good sequencing. There's all those things play a part. And the pitch count plays a part in this. At 109, pipe bomb, I'll bring you in here. If he gets through the eighth inning at, say, 114, 116 pitches, would you have sent him back out there for the ninth?
Absolutely. Of course I would. You know me. I give these guys 120.
Okay. I would tend to agree. And although the narrative of saving innings and watch your innings coming into this year, you remember that 60-game schedule last year, and you know, we really got to watch their innings through the first good chunk of the season here. It doesn't appear that that's happening too much. Yeah, we'll throw in a six-man rotation once in a while. That'll be good enough. But I agree with the history of the franchise. And only the one no-hitter from 87, Craig Counsell is well aware of that. He would have thrown him right back out there. I mean, he threw him out there with, 97 pitches to go into the eighth. And so I want to get your reaction here on the ball game as well as Freddie Peralta's near no-hitter. And if you're, are you superstitious in that regard? Or is that just an old-school thing? Well, Brian Anderson of Bally Sports Wisconsin, not on the call tonight, but he's one that always said, hey, I wish I had that much power to affect it. I'm just calling the game. It's good enough for Vin Scully. It's good enough for me. Okay, I get it. Although I didn't hear Bob Uecker say it. I didn't hear Bill Schroeder say it. But Jeff, the younger guys, Jeff Levering, made mention of a no-hitter going. Lane Grindle on the Brewers radio network side, since Jeff was over doing TV, he mentioned it, the no-hitter going. Is that an old-school thing, or is that still prevalent?
No, I definitely think it's an old-school thing. You know, there's a reason why Uke wouldn't mention it. And, you know, everybody knows how superstitious baseball players are to begin with. And, obviously, you know, they don't have the power to jinx it, but you don't take that chance and you don't set yourself up for that kind of torture.
No, I don't say a word. I just don't say, anything to anybody. I don't want to text anybody. Although, like I said, I was texting back and forth with a former Brewers pitcher, but outside of that, I'm not going to, you know, text my son or text my buddy saying, hey, you see what's going on in the Brewer game? Now, that might be okay because you don't mention the no-hitter. But I don't even do that anymore. I've been burned by that many years ago.
Well, you've been waiting how long for no hitter number two? So, man, you know, I wouldn't do anything. You know, if it gets passed into like the sixth inning and the no hitter's going on,
You don't breathe.
You don't move. You don't grab a fresh beer. You don't do anything. You just sit exactly where you are and don't move at all.
Another couple of home runs for the Brewers offense tonight. That's 11 in their last three games. And is the offense turning the corner a little bit? Talked about that last night. It was an important game in that regard. Let's just see if this offense is starting to turn the corner just a little bit. Maybe they are. Maybe. As they get the victory in game two of this four-game set. And so far on the homestand, they're 3-1 with two to play. And I think most of us expected a 4-2 mark against the Detroit Tigers and four against the D-backs. And they're well on their way to at least that. So that's a good sign right there. Let's get into our game recap here. And here's some highlights in this one. 414-799-1250. If you guys want to jump in here, all sorts of things to talk about tonight. By the way, Colton Wong was officially placed on the IL. And Pablo Reyes recalled from AAA Nashville. As, Freddy Peralta, just outstanding. And this, how good is he? I mean, As the weeks go by, and really you could even say months now, or two-plus months into the season, my goodness. I mean, I don't know what else to say about these guys. Woody Burns and Peralta. There's your big three. There's the NBA terminology there. Big three in Milwaukee. Well, maybe two big threes in Milwaukee if you include the Milwaukee Bucks. First inning, Freddie walks the leadoff man. And that's significant because it would go a stretch after that before he even allowed a base runner. He was up 0-2 in that sequence, and that's the thing. That's been a little bit of the final stages of maturation for Freddy Peralta is, you know, his wildness early in ball games and the pitch count just seems to rise a little bit early. I think him and Woodruff ought to have a nice conversation because that was one of his last, you know, pieces of maturation, and he said get on the attack right away, and it seems to be working for Woody. Maybe one more step and some ceiling for Freddy Peralta, but he falls behind the next batter 2-0, and I'm like, oh man, don't be one of those outings for Freddy. But a flyout, strikeout, 19 pitches in that first inning, and that, you know, again, that plays a factor in the depth of your outing. Brewers on the board, bottom of the first inning. It was a one-out Daniel Vogelback one-man rally.
Vogelback, left center field. Gone! Out on the line for Daniel Vogelback. Right over the yellow line into the Brewers' bullpen. They've struck again for another homer.
There it is. Vogelback gets the Brewers on the board. Solo shot, one zip, nice to play from the lead into the second inning. 1-2-3 for Freddie. Strikeout, flyout, one zip to the bottom of the second inning. Brewers on the scoreboard again in the bottom of that second inning. A leadoff walk to Omar. Travis Shaw then with a gift infield single. Little luck. There's nothing wrong with that. Willy Adames draws a walk to load the bases with nobody out, and the Brewers looking for a quick inning, or a big inning, I should say. JBJ at the plate, and, well, it wasn't a crooked number, but he got the ball in play and got the Brewers another run.
The 1-0. Ground ball, left side. They get one. Can't get two. Brewers get another run. It's 2-0 on the RBI fielder's choice.
Two zip at that point. Runners at the corners with just the one out and one in. For Freddy Peralta, he strikes out on a bunt attempt to bring up Luis Urias, and he grounds out to end the frame. They do get the run. Bases loaded, nobody out, and just netting one run, two zip into the third inning. But the story of the night, Freddy Peralta, a couple of punch outs in the third. Got, five through those first three innings. Brewers scored in the first two innings. Make it the first three as Vogelback leads off with a walk. Yelly hits into a double play. Avi follows up with a two-out base hit. And it set the stage for a weird official scoring call, but it set the stage for Omar Narvaez.
This one lined into the gap in right center, and it's going to go all the way to the wall. Avi Garcia rounding third. He's going to come in and score. Narvaez chugging for third. He is in. As the ball gets by, it's in the dugout. A little league homer for Omar Narvaez. It'll be a triple, no doubt. Picks up an RBI, and he scores himself.
Yeah, there it is on Bally Sports Wisconsin. It's ruled as a double and then two errors, but he gets the RBI double, so I'll take that. I thought it was interesting. Bill Schroeder in the booth on Bally Sports Wisconsin was saying, hey, man, that's a triple. And Levering was talking to him about, well, the official score has to rule it this way. It did get by the outfielder and things like that. And Schroeder
said, come on, Tim.
Yeah, Timmy O'Driscoll, the official scorer, gave it the RBI double. I think it's the right call, but Schroeder had said, hey, man, if it's a catcher, goes as a triple for me.
Absolutely.
So I can get the territorial thing there for Rock. And they're up 4-0 at that point. Both teams 1-2-3 in the fourth inning. Freddie, two more strikeouts, had seven through the four innings. Make it 8 strikeouts in a scoreless fifth inning for Freddie Peralta. Still no hits, but he did walk a man, and that shut down a string of 14 consecutive retired for the Brewers' right-hander. Brewers, a couple of base runners in the fifth inning after two out. Yelly with a base hit. Avi then works a walk. Lavolo then goes to the lefty to face Omar, and he grounds out to end that frame into the sixth inning. 4-0. Freddie, 3-up, 3-down. I should have said through six. Into the seventh. Freddie, 3-up, 3-down. What a play from Luis Urias. And as I discussed, it's so difficult to throw a no-hitter. There's so many factors involved, one of which is defense, and Luis stepped up.
Little flare, center field, diving.
Diamondbacks are going to take a look at that, but what a play by Luis Urias to protect a no-hitter at this point.
And again, that preserved the no-hitter in the seventh inning, and he gets through it. Now it's getting nervous time. You get through seven, and now you're talking. Freddie Peralta is going to go back out for the eighth inning. 97 pitches through the seven innings with 9 strikeouts, 97 pitches again, going into the eighth inning. Craig Counsell, you got to let him go. And he did that. No hitter. It disappears after one out. It was a, Joe West, I got to say, in that, he was a little, I don't know, he was squeezing each side left and right, maybe a little bit more than top and bottom, although there was some calls missed on the top end of the zone for both these starting pitchers. So I understand that. But I will say this, Joe West, when you got a guy throwing a no-hitter and it's a borderline call, really? Really? I know a strike zone's a strike zone. But if that some of those pitches in that eighth inning, Jeff, they could have been called strikes, and no one would have really argued too much about it.
Right.
I mean, it's not like I'm asking for 6 inches outside.
Right. I agree 1,000%. But, Tim, you know, with as long as we've both been watching baseball, Joe West has been doing this stuff for 25 years. And, you know, now that he's umpired more games than anybody in the history of the world – you know, he thinks he's king of the mountain. He's thought that for the last 25 years as well. So nothing that he does surprises me.
And you saw him early on. It was, bottom of the first inning. He stepped out there, had to take center stage because the Arizona pitcher was like biting his nail or something like that.
Oh, heaven forbid. You know, and I'm sure that's why all those people crowded AmFam Field tonight. Because everybody wanted to watch Joe West.
I do. Now, the no-hitter was lost on the Omed single. I get that. in my estimation, I think the no-hitter was really sort of conceptually lost in the walk just prior to that. That's the part. That's the tough part, because there were some missed calls right there. But so be it. It ends Peralta's night right there. As Boxberger comes in and gets out of it, he does give up a sack fly, but that goes on Peralta's ledger. 7 1/3 of one hit, one run baseball, 3 walks, and 9 strikeouts in the performance, 109 pitches. Outstanding for Freddy Peralta. One more highlight to get to as the Brewers come to bat in a 4-1 game in the bottom of the 8th inning. Wrapping up a 12-pitch at-bat for Omar Narvaez.
3-2. To center. Back goes Smith. Gone! Omar Narvaez on the 12th pitch of the at-bat goes deep to straightaway center.
Yeah, there it was on Bally Sports Wisconsin. Richards in for the 9th inning. No problems there in a Brewers 5-1 victory. They now are 5 games over 500, and we're back at this. And you may remember this narrative. I know, Jeff, you probably are nauseated or were nauseated by my comments back in April and May during some rough times. Buy time. This is back to buying time factor now. You got to buy time for Kane to get back. You got to buy time for Colton Wong to get back. You got to buy time for David Stearns to think about what he's going to do in personnel. You have to buy time to get Keston Hira back on track, whether that's at the big league level or at AAA Nashville. Buy time to get JBJ going. All of this while competing. All of this. You're back to 5 games over 500. High watermark was 7 over 500. All right, we'll take a break, come back, and get some of your reaction here. 414-799-1250, Freddy Peralta, near no-hitter. Man, almost. Also, since it's 70s weekend at American Family Field, I go back into the memory bank of the 70s and my introduction to Brewers baseball back, in the early to mid-70s when it really kicked off. And the all-70s decade team, as pronounced or announced by the JS Online some months ago. So we'll have all that in your reaction. How good are the big three in Milwaukee? Woody, Burns, and Peralta, 225, 224, and 127 ERAs through over a third of the season. You're listening to the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove on 1250 AM The Fan and Odyssey Station.
Let's hear what you thought of today's game on the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove on The Fan. Call Tim Allen now at 414-799-1250 or tweet the show at 1250 AM The Fan.
Five-one, the final. Brewers take game two of this four-game set. And the story, Freddy Peralta, and the bigger story, the big three: Burns, Woody, Peralta, and the Brewers back on the winning track here in their offense. I don't know. It just smells a little bit like it's turning the corner, a little bit. We'll find out as time goes by. But there's enough time to maybe make some sort of judgment on Woody, Burns, and Peralta. I think we've seen enough of that to make some sort of judgment on who these guys are. I mean, they are. It's tough. We haven't seen a 1-2-3 punch like this in a long time. I mean, it's if really at all, in terms of 2+ months of baseball, 2.25 ERA, 2.24. And a 127. Freddy Peralta, near no-hitter tonight. When I get your reaction on the ball game, we're going to hear from Craig Counsell. We will hear from Freddy Peralta as well as we move along. And also, if you're old enough, and I don't want to alienate anybody that is in the younger generation, but I sort of have to ask this question. It's 70s theme night or weekend at American Family Field. That's when I got bitten by the Brewer bug, if you will. was in the early to mid 70s, right there, 72 to 75 is when, you know, I experienced my first Brewers baseball game at County Stadium, and I don't know. It just took off from that right there. And JS Online some months ago had the all decades teams for the Milwaukee Brewers franchise, and they had labeled their 70s all-decade team here, and I'll read that for you and take a walk down memory lane at that point. 799-1250, you described to me how good the Big Three are, and Freddie's performance tonight as well as the Brewers' victory to get back to five games over 500 and stay right there in the thick of a dogfight, really. What we had predicted, and a lot of people did, predicted as it's going to go back and forth all summer long with the Cardinals, Cubs, Brewers, and possibly even Reds. I still think the Reds got a run in them a little bit, so you got to be careful there. But three or four team race all summer long, and that's holding firm with what we had thought at the beginning of the season. Let's start things out with Mike. Mike, what's on your mind? You're on the Fan.
Hey, Timmy, BBD. You know what? Joe West has got to go. He's got to go. And are you there?
Go ahead, yeah.
So quiet there. What was the – I'm 55, my memory goes. What was the free agent pitcher we had that it was pitching a no-hitter?
CC Sabathia?
Sabathia, yeah. And they took that no-hitter away. I think Joe West caused a no-hitter here. I mean, this guy – who plans their own 5,000 game party celebration?
That's true.
But you know what, I admit? I got a little emotional when he didn't get it.
Yep.
But then I thought, you know, out of these top three, there's going to be a no-hitter this season. And now, that Vogelbach?
Right.
He's playing great D. He made a Sports Center last night. I think it was six. And then that play he made, I think it was in the sixth inning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and well, that's part of this. They need to get some output at the corners, and he's going to be a big stretch of games here with the injuries.
And just one last question. When they put the K's on the scoreboard, is a backwards K a left-handed batter?
No, it's looking. You got caught looking.
Oh, so looking. Okay.
Backwards K is you took the strike, yeah.
But, yeah, it's been a long sports day, but they will get a no-hitter.
Okay.
As long as Joe West came behind the plate.
Yeah, as long as, that doesn't impact it. Mike, thanks for the call. 799-1250. Yeah, maybe they will get a no-hitter. I mean, no-hitters are flying around here in baseball these days. But it's so difficult, and that's why, you know, again, in texting back and forth with a former big league pitcher here, he couldn't stress that enough to me in the back and forth, that it's just there's so many factors that need to go into it that that's why they're rare, because of all these factors. I didn't even mention, Jeff, in the factors. The factors is it's pitch count. It's obviously a good game call by the battery. It is the defense that is played, but I never mentioned, the umpiring. That's a big factor in a no hitter.
Absolutely, it all comes into play. You know, it seems like every time that somebody does throw a no hitter, there's at least two plays in that game where it's either spectacular defense, something. Just completely the four-leaf clover landed on him, and it was one hell of a Lucky Charms day. And, yes, you need everything in your favor to throw one of those.
Urias made a great play in that seventh inning, just an outstanding play. And you're right, that has to happen, and most times does happen in a no-hitter. So that's it's just so tough. But, boy, an umpire that is squeezing left and right, oh, man, really? That irked me a little bit. Although the Diamondbacks were upset with the strike zone as well tonight. It's not like he was picking one pitcher or another. Well, my goodness. You get a no-hitter going, and if there's anything borderline, Joe, really, you have to give it. Come on, give it to that guy. He's up there busting his tail. You saw what happened with, was it Joyce? With the Detroit Tigers, Galarraga no-hitter.
Yep.
I mean, you saw what happened there, how blue impacts no-hitters.
Yeah. Cost him one there.
It did, and he felt horrible about it. And now Joe West sticking his nose right into this thing again. The Brewers don't have a tremendous amount of history with Joe West, Jeff. I don't recall in the 16 years of doing this show, I don't recall too many issues with Joe West.
Okay, because I know he's got a ton of issues with the team that I root for. And, you know, I've hated him since I was a teenager.
My goodness, though. I mean, give him the call. Give him the call. All right, 799-1250. Todd, you're next on the Fan. What's happening?
Howdy, boys. All hail King West.
Yeah.
I agree with Pipe. I'm 100%. That guy's a clown. I remember listening to, I shouldn't say he's a clown, but yeah, let's just say he's a clown. Listen to 670 to score down in Chicago, and can't remember which pitcher it was that had a 57 Chevrolet convertible. And when he would come into town, he would give the car to Joe West, and you'd pitch a four-day stint or whatever. I mean, he'd ump, and magically the guy that was pitching had his car, and he called him balls and strikes way better for that pitcher. But
I heard that same story. I was laughing. Yep. That was, man.
That's the truth, Pipe Bomb. It's the truth. I heard it too, and it's like, yep, it makes total sense.
Yeah,
but you know, as far as the big three go, it's awesome. You know, I remember at the end of April on MLB Network, everybody. It was Ripken's brother, that's Cal's brother. I can't remember his first name.
Billy
on the show, Billy. Yep, and he was like, "Yeah, you know, everybody's in love with Milwaukee and blah blah blah." Well, then they fell off the map with the offense, but now they're back, and it's fantastic. But if I could bring up another point that I've been really kind of noticing with Urias and Adames is they're kind of gelling more now. And it's looking at it, it's like, well, is Shaw going to be more, you know, expendable? I know I'm off topic, and I apologize about that. But I've been watching them lately, and it seems like they're playing really well together, and I hope it works out. And with that maybe a little better offense. But, yeah, the big three, they're fantastic.
It is fantastic. All right, thanks for the call, Todd, as always. 799-1250. Woody Burns and Peralta, we're over a third here, 31 and 26 mark so far. And those ERAs are just amazing. And it's the Ks per nine innings for Peralta way up. Woody's going deep. Burns is doing. It's tough to wrap your brain around a little bit. So that tells you, again, there will be some moving parts on this roster.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
This summer there will be, because ain't no way David Stearns is going to let this pitching staff be wasted by a horrible offense.
No,
it's not going to happen. He will, because. How would we feel, Jeff, if that occurred this year, that these pitchers continue to do what they're doing, and there's no reason to indicate to us that they will stop doing what they're doing? Will they come down to earth a little bit? Yeah, maybe a little bit, but that's still going to be pretty damn good. Very competitive, to the point where you don't want to face Woodruff, Burns, and Peralta in a playoff series. That concept right there will force Stearns to fix that offense one way or the other.
Yeah, it better, or there's no way that he could walk through that clubhouse and look those guys in the eye and sincerely tell him, or tell, you know, tell them that he's doing everything they can to win. Can I touch on one of Todd's points real quick?
Mm-hmm.
He mentioned, you know, the addition of Willy Adames and how they're starting to gel better and stuff like that, and I couldn't agree more. When Adames came here and the first thing, you know, pretty much out of his mouth was, Yeah, watching Burns and Woodruff on TV is, you know, they're sick, but you see it live in person. They are nasty.
Yeah, now, disgusting or something.
Yeah.
Or said, yeah.
What a phenomenal way to endear yourself to the guys in that clubhouse. You immediately get looked at as a leader and as at somebody who's got everybody else's back. Just what a textbook way of how you should enter a clubhouse if you've been traded or anything.
And that's the first step in David Stearns fixing this offense. I mean, it really is. It's got a little blend of it helps for now and it helps for the future. And those are key for Stearns. And we've always heard that. That's why you gamble now offensively. That's why you shove Daniel Vogel back in there for a 15-game stretch to find out if he's got a lost season going on with a 204 batting average. That's why you find out once and for good if Keston Hira has a lost season or not. Get him some regular playing time here. Find out now. Because come August and September, you start wasting, remember, wasted days and wasted nights. Remember that?
I do. Okay. Some of them.
You start wasting those performances, a 2-0 loss, a 2-1 loss, 6 2/3 of one-run ball and you lose because your offense can't score. That's a shame if that's going to happen in August or September. So figure it out now. Again, these are things that Travis Shaw, are you going to have a tale of two seasons here? All of this has got to be playing out now. Adamas was the start of that. Get the offense going. Now the offense, hey, Craig Counsell said it on the flagship before the game today. A baseball season is built in large part on patience. Got to have some patience. They have way too much patience at times. I'm not disagreeing with that statement. I'm just saying occasionally they have too much, and they end up dumping the guy anyway. So let's find out what moves are made as you move down the line, because it's pitching performances just like this that tell me that this is an extremely dangerous team if all things stay the same and you get to October 1st.
Yeah.
And that's just, you know, it's about the time factor, and I understand that. But it's also about the risk factor also. Let's find out if Vogelback can be an everyday guy. Is that fair? Let's find that out. Avi seems to be falling into a pocket of an everyday guy. I don't think there's too much to complain about Avi Garcia.
Nope.
So that we found out. Yelich. It's time. Probably about time we get you going here. He's starting to maybe turn the corner a little bit himself. JBJ, is he doing that? All of this is based on, you know, obviously productivity, but it's also based on the time factor. So when these guys are going out and doing what they're doing on that mound, that you can put up 4, 5, 6 runs.
It's just tough with this team, Tim, because it seems like I can't figure out what their identity is or what the moves that are going to be made, what they're going to be. You know, did I think that Counsell was going to let Freddie throw 109 pitches tonight? Hell no, because I'm always, you know, yelling at him for yanking guys way too early. Mm-hmm. You know, I would have left Freddie out. If anybody on my team, and I don't care if it's Peralta, if it's Woodruff, you know, or if it's Phil Bickford, you know, I'll let you throw 200 pitches. Go chase history, man. Go chase history. Because yeah. Your name is always going to be in the books. You've got, you know, you've got that to hang your hat on. That's your right if, you know, if you're throwing a no-hitter and then the first time, you know, you give up a hit, obviously, you sit. But, you know, it's weird because, you know, right when I've got him pigeonholed, you know, and we've been saying about Counsell yanking pitchers early for years now, but, you know, then he lets, you know, tonight Freddie go for 110. And, yeah. You know, it's just they can't even get a jersey that fits Vogelbach. You know, there's just weird things with this organization.
I would agree with you on half of the identity part, and that is, offensively, they don't have one. It is clear that there's no offensive identity. What are they? Who are they? Are they home run hitters? Nope. Are they batting average, get on base guy? Nope. Are they run score? Nope.
Small ball? Nope.
Are they small? Nope. but pitching side, I think that's kind of the umbrella identity right now, is the pitching. And so we're all well aware of that. But it, man, I got excited there for quite a stretch of time tonight. As honestly, no, and I'm a little disappointed with myself here. Jeff, I had to be reminded by someone that he had the no-hitter going after four. I didn't realize it. I was so caught up in, hey, let's get some runs on the board. Freddie looks like he's on tonight kind of situation.
Yeah, it took me a while to realize it, too. I was happy that they scored in each of the first three innings.
Yeah.
You know, because you get these teams that'll sit there and they'll put up a run here, and then they've got six or seven innings where they don't do anything. And it was impressive for me to see him score the first three innings back to back to back. So, and then, you know, all of a sudden I look up at the TV and I'm like, oh, Freddie's got something cooking.
Looky, looky here. What do we have?
Yeah.
All right. We'll take a break. We're going to hear from Freddie Peralta. We'll hear from Craig Counsell. All of that and more coming up, as well as American Family Field has their 70s theme weekend. And, you know, the whole, you know, I was a kid in the 70s, and I'm not going to belabor the point of whether it was bell bottoms or disco coming into play in the late 70s. I will keep it to Brewers, and I will just walk down memory lane for you with my experience in the 70s at County Stadium, as well as the all-decade of the 70s team that was proclaimed by JS Online a few months ago. So all that to get to here, Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, post-game show driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway. 5-1 final, near no-hitter for Freddie Peralta as the Brewers get another victory, 2 in this four-game set. We'll be right back. 50 AM The Fan and Odyssey Station.
What was the deal with the lineup? Why did he make that bullpen move? Why did he pinch hit with that guy? Time to get all of those questions answered and more with Scoop from the Skipper. Brought to you by Scholze Family Beef. Treat your grill to quality pasture-raised beef from their family farm. Just go to ScholzeFamilyBeef.com. This is the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. On The Fan.
Welcome back. A Brewers victory to take game two of this four-game set, and the Brewers now get back to five games over 500. Now just taking a peek at a pennant race scoreboard, the Cubs trail, but that's mid-game. Seems to be a little bit of a slugfest there in San Francisco, 8-5. They trail, and the Cardinals game, that may have gone final. I know the Reds were leading that game over St. Louis by a couple of runs in the ninth inning. So we'll get some finals for you in a little bit. 799-1250 if you want to jump in here. Get to Craig Counsell in just a little bit. As Freddie Peralta, it's a game like this that shows you how difficult a no-hitter is. Now, seemingly no-hitters are flying around baseball these days. But it also shows us here as Brewers fans how damn tough it is to actually get one this season or any other season. It's just a lot of factors involved in the no hitter. But boy, you keep throwing out these three gentlemen out there, and that's Woody Burns and Peralta. Someone was going to get close, and you saw it tonight.
Yeah, there's one coming, Timmy.
You would think. I mean, it's tough to predict because a little flare base hit, you know, could cost you. And we all, as Brewer fans, would love to kind of lay that only one no-hitter and it was back in 87 thing to rest. I mean, you've got the guy that that caught that no-hitter in the Bally Sports Wisconsin booth. And who, by the way, I do have to say this about Bill Schroeder. I don't know if he gets enough credit Dude's kind of funny in a really dry kind of way. He really is. You really got to kind of hone in, and he's one of those guys that, you know, he'll say something, and then it'll be, you know, 1-1,000, 2-1,000, 4-1, 6-1. That was pretty funny. You know, you don't kind of get it right away. It's kind of cool. So he was 87 catcher for the Juan Nieves no hitter. By the way, speaking of going back in the archives, 70s theme weekend at American Family Field. I'll get to that in just a second. If you're in that age bracket that you remember the 70s Brewers, and you want to chime in on that, that's cool too. But I'll go back. I'd probably tell this story, Jeff, maybe once a year on how I got hooked into Brewers baseball. And I still remember the first time I ever set foot at County Stadium. Never forget it. Etched in my mind. Absolute etched in my mind. And maybe it's, a story that's not unlike a lot of other people. That, you know, the old transistor radio story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people say that, and it's true, and I don't know if people get tired of hearing that, but that's literally what I did, and I think a lot of people do, and some people still do to this day. They still make those old transistors to a degree. I've had to buy a couple online used, but nonetheless.
Dude, when I was in grade school, Timmy, this fast food restaurant that starts with M, they had this promotion where they had this little radio that was pretty much no bigger than the size of a quarter, and it had the little hook that went around your ear, and the only station it would play was the flagship for the team of the city I was living in.
Single frequency radio, yeah.
Yep, and man, I use that sucker all the time. Sitting in class, oh, it's 120? Let's flip this sucker on. Catching all the games, I loved it.
Well, and then they got a little creative, and they got into, and this was more 80s and 90s, where they got into the hat that had the little battery pack radio on the back portion, so the back of your head. And then two little earbuds that would dangle down off the hat.
Mm-hmm.
Not being a hat guy, I never really got into that radio. But, I mean, there's stories of folks that remember their first baseball game. Some don't. And you know, if you're a little kid, 3, 4, 5, 6 years old, I'm sure you're probably not going to remember your first game. But guys that are, you know, 12, 14, kids that are, you know, upwards of 16, 18, some of that age bracket, Jeff, they don't remember their first baseball game.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy.
It's just hard to digest that.
When I was little, and I know that the Brewers still do it because my kids have, you know, walked the warning track and stuff, you know, as part of Little League night.
Mm-hmm.
That was always something you look forward to. Even though that where I was, our Little League night was in one of the teams I hated, Park. But it was still, we look forward to it every year, loved every minute of it.
And remembered every minute of it.
Absolutely.
Man, when I first game I went to, that's crazy. I remember it like it was yesterday. All right, we'll get to Council 799-1250. Let's squeeze in your reaction, John. John, you're on the fan. What's happening?
Hey, Tim. Just wanted to call in. First time, long time here. Just wanted to say big fan here in Madison. I love the Brewers' enthusiasm, and whenever I need a little pick me up. I always like to tune in after the game. So
I appreciate that, John. I do.
I wanted to say I'm a big fan of what you guys are doing there. But great performance by Freddie tonight. Kind of have a special attachment with him. Me and my brothers were actually out in Colorado when he made his debut.
Oh,
back
nice.
In 18,
Mother's Day.
So that was
yeah.
pretty cool. But yeah, between him, Woodruff, and Burns, I gotta think, you know, at some point here, I think something special is gonna happen. At some point this season for sure. So pretty excited about what those guys got going. And one thing, I just wanted to throw in there. Now you mentioned Joe West. I did think that in the eighth there. He kind of burned him a little bit on that yep. two-strike call. But there was a weird thing at, I think it was a few years ago. I don't know if you guys remember this. Didn't he get hit in the head by a baseball that came out of the stands? It was a few years back.
Yes, he did.
Remember
yeah,
that.
And was that yes, Joe West at Miller Park at that time? Was that West? I don't recall,
was.
But I remember someone threw a baseball and hit an umpire.
I believe it was West, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was. That was really weird, but just you never know.
Yeah, that's crazy. John, call anytime, man. You need to pick me up, we got it there for you, unless it's on a tough loss and I'm crabby that night.
Hey, well, I'm enjoying this one. Thanks, guys.
All right, you got it. 799-1250. Yeah, I forgot about that. I didn't realize that was West. See, that's the thing. I don't know if there's that much history with Joe West and the Brewers. There's a few flare-ups here and there, but I don't think like other teams. So when I read these stories and watch these highlight shows and some of the specials and they're mentioning Joe West is sideways umpire, and he's all about Joe West and being a singer, and you know, wasn't he an actor too in some regard? I just never really attached it too close to Brewers baseball. Maybe I'm missing it, but I just don't recall that much history with West.
Well, that was June 30th, and it was Joe West. And he was struck in the back of the head from a ball coming out of the stands in a game against the Marlins.
That's just, I remember doing the show that night and how ridiculous it was for anybody to throw anything at anyone at any time.
Yep.
Just idiots. I mean, you saw, you're seeing, I guess, a little flare up in that regard in the NBA.
Yeah.
You know, can we just control ourselves?
It's not hard, man.
Who's raising these children? I hate to sound like the old codger, but who on earth is raising these children that we feel the need to solve something by throwing things?
Whoever is, they're failing miserably because, you know, what an absolute joke. That was just so bad.
Yeah, that was an embarrassing. I remember the embarrassing kind of show we did that night. Yeah, that's crazy. All right, well, let's get to Craig Council. We'll get into our 70s thing, but let's get some comments from Craig Council. I know he's pretty pleased with Freddie's performance as well as the offense. Guys, the offense seems to be maybe turning the corner. We'll see. I thought it was a pivotal game. When we're looking at an offense that's kind of hanging in the balance of being super bad or kind of recovering a little bit, and it seems to me that the recovery is underway offensively a little bit, despite the injuries to Kane and Wong. Seems like they're recovering just a touch, and you go game by game with that. So far, check this box tonight. As I said last night, thought it was a pretty important game tonight for the offense, but pitching takes center stage. Here's Craig Council.
Hey, Craig, having watched Freddie's whole evolution, just how much fun is a night like tonight where you get to watch him do that?
Yeah, it was fun. And it's just, you know, another sign that he's become a really good starting pitcher in the big leagues. And he's making pitches, he can get deep into games, and that's, you know, he's taken a really big step this year for sure. In a lot of different phases. And he just pitched a beautiful game.
Craig, going into that Nick Ahmed at bat, how close are you watching Freddie's pitch count?
Yeah, I mean, I think it mattered for the next inning. I don't think it mattered for that inning necessarily. You know, the tough decision was going to be kind of after the inning. And so you just, you know, you wait to see where it's at, where it ends up after the inning, really.
Are those tough calls, Craig? I mean, in the old days, those would be really tough calls. But now maybe pitchers are more used to pitch counts being such a part of the game.
Well, like I said, I think we didn't have to make it tonight. You know, we've talked about it. It's coming with these guys. We've flirted with this stuff a bunch of times, really. So it's, you're hoping to have these nights, really. Those are, they're good things. So they're tough. And I think, you take everything into account. It was a situation where, you know, the sixth and the seventh were so good. It didn't really seem possible. And then the sixth and the seventh were so good that it became possible. So you just let it play out. And he had a shot at it. The guy hit a pretty good pitch, I thought. And then Box did a nice job to clean up the inning. Really, that was also big.
Freddie said that diving play by Louis up the middle was the first moment where he really started thinking, like, hey, this could be a possibility. When were you thinking that? I mean, around that same time or?
I think a little bit before that probably, but I think it got the crowd into it, really, is what happened. Urias' play really got the crowd into it. And when the crowd gets into it, then the pitcher's, you know, the pitcher's going to be into it for sure. So the Louis play was a fabulous play, and it got everybody out of their seats. And I think it made him look at the scoreboard and the reaction. So everybody in the stadium was in on it from then on.
Craig, offensively, you feel like the lid's been lifted a little bit? Are guys just feeling a little more free up there, do you think?
It's the same story when offense starts to click, is that we can talk about different names every night. And so that's what we're able to do. It was Vogie and Omar tonight. So we can kind of go up and down the lineup and talk about different names that have contributed during this nice little offensive run. And that's what offense is. It's got to be different guys. It's got to be everybody's going to kind of take their turn. And that's why we're scoring runs. And that's why we've been consistent the last week on offense, is because guys are – it's different names every night. And that leads to consistency.
Greg, for Omar's last at-bat, to go 12 pitches and deliver a homer – I mean, and probably more importantly, it sits down Josh Hader, but how did that kind of swing the game in your favor too?
Yeah, that's what it did. I mean, obviously you're trying to, any day we can get Josh a day of rest, especially when he pitched the previous day, that matters. So Omar had a great at bat, fouled off a ton of pitches and put a really nice swing on the ball. And then Trevor had a great inning that allowed Josh to not even get up again. So, Omar did a great job, and I thought Trevor did a great job to finish it out.
Let's find out the play of the game. Brought to you by ABC Audio Video. Home entertainment and smart home technology simply done right. Check them out at abcaudiovideo.com. On the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. On the Fan.
Pretty interesting comments there on the offensive side of things for Craig Counsell as he talks about the different names. That's what it's going to take for this team, maybe more than others. Now, maybe as a different philosophy with a different roster. And you go back to 2018 or something, maybe he says, hey, those are the heavy lifters. Those are the guys that get it done. In this case, maybe he's defaulting to, you know, that philosophy that, you know, you've got to sequence these things. It's got to be different names. That's how an offense gets going. I think that would be the case here, because they do need to recover an offense that can do their fair share when you have this type of pitching. And ABC Audio Video play of the game is just the play of Freddie Peralta, 7 1/3 of no-hit baseball before he is lifted after one hit, one run, 9 strikeouts in this performance tonight. Run is marked to 6-1 and a 2.25 ERA to go along with Burns, 2.24, go along with Woody, 1.27. This team's going to win games on their arm. There's no question. But when that arm lets up a little bit, which they will, and I'm prepared for that, we're not going to lose our minds when Woody or Burns or Peralta goes out there and goes 5 2/3 of 4-run baseball. Promise me, I'll promise you, we're not going to lose our minds. That's going to happen occasionally. It will. But in those games that that occurs, will the Brewers' offense pick up a few of those games? That's what you're hoping for here. You're hoping for that recovery. But Freddie, play of the game with ABC audio video, just outstanding. And I will say this, you guys at American Family Field, I know the crowd was around 15,000, so getting a little bit better here. And I know there's a particular comfort zone with, you know, our landscape, if you will, opening up a little bit. I know people are a little trepidatious about, you know, maybe going back out and enjoying some things, but, you know, 15,000, I think a big test of that will be on Sunday for the Hank Aaron bobblehead.
Oh, every seat that can be sold will be sold.
Right, and it's upwards of, what, 20,000? It would be capacity these days, 21,000 or whatever it is?
Yeah.
I would expect that on Sunday, but... Man, tonight, you guys were feeling it. So was Freddie. I was too. And it just, when he lost the no-hitter, it was like, oh, man. I mean, just, you know, you felt bad for Freddie Peralta. I felt bad for Freddie first and then the organization second.
I didn't feel bad for the organization, but I definitely felt bad for Freddie. You know, but it was so quick from when he lost the no hitter to where like the tying runs on deck.
And, that's crazy.
You yep. know, that my disappointment didn't last long because then I got nervous.
Of course. And you know who flared everybody on that? For those that watched it on TV was Schroeder.
Yeah.
He did. And he said, hey, you look, there's two guys on now. The tying runs on deck. And I immediately went there myself. So you got a game to win here. All right, 414-799-1250. Take a walk down memory lane after we hear from Freddie Peralta. That is next. You're listening to the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. 5-1 final. Brewers back to 500. And they win the first two of this four-game set. We'll be right back. 1250 AM The Fan and Odyssey Station.
Let's find out what happened in today's game from the guys that played it. Let's head inside the clubhouse presented by Windows Select. Right now, buy one, get one free. Plus, no payments for an entire year. Call them today at 262-703-3500.
Brewers get the victory tonight as Freddie Peralta outstanding once again, and a near no-hitter, proving to all of us how just damn tough it is to throw a no-no in the big leagues. Nick Ahmed with a soft single with two strikes made it a little tough to bear, and Joe West with a little squeeze job going on there in that eighth inning as well. But we need to hear this from Freddie Peralta after this performance.
Freddie, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Hey, what did you think when you saw Ahmed hit that pitch? It looked like it was well below the zone.
Yeah, below the zone. He made, you know, he got me and did this to him. But awesome, man. I enjoy every moment of this game.
Freddie, at what point did you start realizing that this might become a reality? You know, like what inning were you starting to think like, hey, this could be a no-hitter?
In the moment that Urias made that catch. That was great, man.
Freddie, did you think that was getting through?
I was, you know, so we were so focused and everything pitch by pitch, Omar and I, and all defense was great tonight too.
Freddie, you got a lot of really strange swings from the Diamondbacks today off your breaking pitches, slider, everything really. Did you feel like today was some of your best stuff of the year?
Yes, but I had other good games too that I felt that all my pitches were working really good too. But tonight was I had a great feeling of all my breaking balls and the fastball too.
How soon could you realize that you had everything working tonight? Did you know right from the start, or when did you realize this was
going to be your No, probably in the second inning, I was feeling more comfortable, and I was feeling that the ball was coming out of my hands really good. But being honest, during the bullpen before the game, I wasn't feeling that good. You know, my body, my arm and legs really good, but I don't know, my release point wasn't there. But the soon that I get on the mound, everything changed.
Freddie, how tired were you during that Ahmed at bat, and how hard do you think you would have fought counts if you would have taken that no-hitter, like let's say two outs, or if you would have gotten into the ninth? Would you really have argued with him to try to stay in the game?
I respect all his decision, but he probably gonna let me out there and finish my game. Yeah, I know that.
Fair to say this was your best birthday ever? Any birthday ever compared to this one?
I think this is the best one. Yep.
Freddie, where does this one rank? We always ask you about the Mother's Day game, though. Your debut. Does this one rank higher than that game for you now?
No. Mother's game is still the best one for me. Yep.
Freddie, have you had any opportunity this year to think about how far you've come as a pitcher since that Mother's Day and how different you are now than you were then as a pitcher?
Yeah, man, it comes to my mind sometimes, and I feel like really happy about it because I work really hard, man, all the time, and just for be better and better. And what I know is that I can do all my work on the field, working out and all that. But the sooner that I'm on the mound, what I try to do is my best, but I don't know what's going to happen. So I just compete all the time and try my best. But something that I have on my all the time is, okay, I'm going to try my best. I'm going to do my best today. But I don't know what can happen. You know, I don't know if I'm going to gain like 5 runs or maybe 0, maybe 1. I don't know. But all I try to do is go out and compete and never get up.
There he is, Freddie Peralta. Oh yeah, he was staying in that game. It was clear to him. He gets through that eighth inning. I don't know where Craig Counsell's breaking point would be. Maybe it's not Edwin Jackson at what was he? Maybe 143 pitches or something like that. I don't think he would have went there. But if you get out of that eighth inning and, you know, it's maybe around 115, 116, he was going back out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he was going to lose that no-hitter or get the no-hitter in that ninth inning. Because at that point, you know, you're in a little bit of danger land. I mean, you got to just go on the attack.
Well, I think if he would have tried to take Freddie out of the game before he gave up that hit, I think that it would have been a reverse situation of what we saw in the Diamondbacks dugout earlier in the game.
Crazy.
With Lavallo going after those guys.
He's feeling the heat, man. They can hit. They've got an offense. But, you know, again, you had a couple of errors on a play. They all got back in the dugout, and he just laid into them. You rarely see that, but it happens. So for those that think managers don't do rah-rah or you don't yell at guys, well, you saw it tonight. Big league manager did it. That's crazy.
Well, and you love it when it happens against a team that you love.
For sure. And especially in a game which you have a 4-0 lead, you got your one of your studs on the mound and he's rolling. And you wonder if this will carry over. And, you know, you take it one game at a time. But, again, I keep referring to this. 2 against the Tigers, 4 against the Diamondbacks, all 6 of those games at American Family Field. I think it's fair to expect a 4-2 mark. And they're sitting there with 3-1 right now. I mean, let's get that tomorrow game. You can play with a little bit of house money on Sunday. But, okay, so let's go back to American Family Field is having their 70s theme weekend, which, yeah, it's kind of fun for folks to throw on, you know, I don't recall too much of the 70s. I was just a little sports kid nerd. So I you know, maybe it was the Grateful Dead era, or the that might have been 60s, 70s with the beads and the peace signs. And I know that in the 70s, my neighbor, who I look back on it now, was quite the partier. I didn't realize it then, but, you know, he'd entertain himself by, you know, shooting us with a BB gun.
Just, okay.
We'd be running around the backyard playing baseball, and you just feel a little something like a mosquito bite at your thigh or something. He'd be shooting us with a BB gun. Probably not a good idea to do these days.
No, if you did that now, he'd be serving time.
Or shot.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Or, well, yeah. Yeah. Or worse. He'd be definitely doing time, or worse.
So it was 1972, and I was 8 years old. Well, I was going to be 8 years old. I'm assuming this was prior to September. I have a late birthday. So I was 7 years old. And I know the Cub Scouts, it was Cub Scouts that I was in. I had this trip to see a baseball game. And that's what they called it. We're going to see a baseball game. I'm like, okay, all right, baseball game in Milwaukee, the big city. I grew up in Kenosha, and it seemed like it was like a 14-hour drive. Yeah, but really, it's, you know, 37 minutes down the road.
Yeah, but those Model Ts didn't get going real quick.
Check that one. So, you know, we get there, and you got to stay with it, single file, and make sure you don't get, you know, lost or whatever. And we finally get in there, and I buy a someone gave me – I'm just a dumb little kid. Someone said, well, will you buy – what you do at a baseball game is you buy one of those programs, and then you get a pencil with it, and then you can keep score. Well, I keep score? Really, Jeff? I didn't even know what that was. At 7 years old.
Okay.
I just thought it was like write down the score, like, you know, after the game or something. I didn't know. And so I did that because they had the at County Stadium, they had the program stand just right there. As soon as you got in there, it was the big concourse. And so we started walking toward our seats or whatever down the hallway. And going up that ramp, those of you, you know, my age or maybe a little bit younger even, and certainly older, you know that ramp, you go up. And by this point, Jeff, you can see, like, outside. You see down the tunnel. Wasn't that long, maybe 20 feet. 25 feet at best, and you could see the blue sky in the background. I'm like, whoa, it's like opening up, because that concourse at County Stadium was dark and dingy and concrete, and it was nasty, and it was, you know, I can say that now. But, you know, I saw the blue sky out above, and then as you got a little bit higher, it was ramped up. You know, I got out there, and I just was like, whoa. Green, blue, the red seats down front, the green seats behind, the white lines, all of that. And again, I put this akin to, you know, the old transistor radio stories. And we've heard the color story before. But I have to say that was so prevalent that I just stood there hypnotized. I'll never forget it. Like, it happened literally tonight, earlier tonight. And the usher then had to say, move it along, buddy. You know, it was almost like that Miller Lite commercial. Let's move it along, buddy. but he had to say, kid, you got to go to your seat. You can't just stand here. And I'm like, what? It was like I was stoned. Because, you know, I'm just standing there, just staring at it. And then, you know, you get to your seats, and then you start focusing in and honing in on the actual players. And I knew it was a Brewers game. I mean, I knew the name of the team, but the Cub Scouts called it a baseball game. That was 1972. And so I do remember. But that program, I will say, is the resource that put me behind this microphone this very second. I don't know, had I not purchased that program, if I would be right here right now, Jeff. I don't know that probably, but I don't know that for certain because I read every single sentence in that book.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure multiple times, too.
Oh, a ton of times. And then the picture, I got mesmerized by these players, like, you know, which number is he? And so then I started listening to it on the radio. And my dad would kind of chime in a little bit. And, yeah, it's a Brewers. They used to be the Braves, he was telling me. They used to be the Braves. And he said, I went to games in 1957 and 58 when they were really good. And so he tried to teach me what he could. He wasn't too much into sports. So there's a 70s story for you. And I will say this, by 1975, hook, line, and sinker, all in. All in. Knew as much as I could about that franchise.
That's awesome. Can I ask you a question? Have you ever laid in bed at night or, you know, you come home from your favorite hole in the wall and you had a few and you're sitting there and your mind keeps running and you ever think what would have happened since you were in Kenosha if they would have made the trip south instead of up to Milwaukee? And all of a sudden, instead of Tim Allen, you know, beating a Milwaukee Brewer heart, it went the other way?
I never thought about that.
Well, think about that tonight.
I have never thought about that. That's interesting.
Because, you know, you could have easily gone, you know, you had north or south.
Yeah, so. And all of a sudden I buy a... You know, I buy a program, and it's Dick Allen in a White Sox uniform, or it's, you know, whoever was a White Sox at that time. I wonder, or heaven forbid, the other team.
Yeah, I was thinking more of the other team.
Right, it could have happened. I suppose it could have happened. What if I buy that program and Ernie Banks is on the cover?
Yeah.
Wow, interesting concept. All right, up next, we will have the all-decade of the 70s team as proclaimed by JS Online. Grab this and just archive this some months ago, and we'll take a walk down memory lane on the field with some of these players. Pretty interesting stuff, pretty fun stuff to go through. We'll do that next. Brewers get the victory tonight, 5-1 final. We'll be right back on The Fan.
What's on tap for the crew? What pitcher starts the next one? It's time for some forward thinking on the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. On The Fan.
All right, final couple of minutes here on the show as the Brewers get ready to hopefully take three straight in this series. They take the first two, and on the homestand, so far so good. A 3-1 mark through the first four games of the homestand, two against Detroit and four against Arizona. So let's go back down memory lane here since it's American Family Field's 70s weekend. A Hank Aaron bobblehead on Sunday. And I recall, just speaking of Hank Aaron real quick, seeing him play and going down front when I would sneak down toward that Brewers on deck circle. And I didn't, I guess, understand at that point, and that was, you know, 76. I was into taking pictures. A lot I took my own pictures and developed my own film at a young age. But I didn't understand necessarily the gravity quite yet. I wish I would have knew then that it was like this iconic figure, Hank Aaron. And I knew he was big, don't get me wrong, the home run king and the whole deal. And wow, it's Hank Aaron. But now, you know, give me that opportunity now, it would be way over the top. Like way over the top as a person and a baseball player. Never did really get his autograph, tried. You know, one of those rail birds. Hey, Hank, you know, trying to get it as a kid, but it stars never lined up right there. And, you know, I'm going to end up on the purchase market. I don't think in my home that I have a Hank Aaron autograph of any kind.
Really? You know,
I don't think so.
Are you saying this because you want me to play the world's smallest violin for you? Or are you saying this because you want people to send you something autographed by Hank Aaron? And you want me to say the address to the station?
I don't expect that at all. I expect a good deal on a guitar if you're selling your guitar. That I would expect. All right, so let's go to the let's go to the 70s. You do have a guitar in your closet just taking up dust. I know you do. And you tried playing it 17 years ago, and it just didn't work. And you might as well take a little money for it.
I got a flying V, Tim. You would have to grow your hair down, you know, halfway to your butt to make it look right.
Yeah, deal. The flying V, though, I will say this about the flying V. You have to kind of play it standing up, Jeff, because it's not a guitar for sitting down at all. Like, you're just hanging around at home or in your studio or whatever, on your couch, or it just slides. There's not a good, you know, purchase to kind of keep it there on your thigh.
Yeah.
But I do. I have played a V before. They are cool. Who used to play that? Does that Kiss guy play a flying V?
They played some crazy shaped guitars. You know, Dave Mustaine from Megadeth, you know, is the guy I always think of when I think of a flying V. But yeah, I love them. They're so cool looking.
Yeah, yeah, they really are. All right, all-time best lineup by decade. Here we have the 70s. That's the theme weekend. Again, this is all-time of the decade. So you're going to have to take some of this with a grain of salt. The catcher, Daryl Porter. My mother was in love with Daryl Porter. I apparently must have been a good-looking guy. But Daryl Porter, he was traded to, I believe it was the MVP of the 82 World Series for the St. Louis Cardinals. He was traded to Kansas City from the Brewers for Jim Wolford and Jamie Quirk. I believe that was that deal. Okay, so there's the catcher position. First base, George Boomer Scott. One of my first favorite players in all of baseball. Number five, bunch of gold gloves, big dude. He was the boomer. Came over from Boston. I believe they sent George Scott back to Boston, I want to say. Might have to think about that. I know they traded him to Boston for Cecil Cooper. Think about that. Let's see here. Second baseman, Pedro Garcia, good old number nine. I don't know too much about Pedro. Let's see. The shortstop of the decade of the 70s. Well, this one's a no-brainer. This is Robin Yount. Third base, Don Money, good old number seven, Don Money. Let's see, left field, Johnny Briggs, big old burly bearded left fielder. His jersey number's not coming to me. 24? I think 24. Center fielder of the decade of the 70s, Davey May. Davey May was actually traded for Hank Aaron. Right field, Sixto Lescano, number 16. Actually, did he play for the Cubs or was it his brother? I think it was his brother, Carlos Lescano.
Yeah, that sounds familiar, but that was a little before my time.
The DH was Hank Aaron, although he only played for the Brewers just a year and a half, but we'll take that. The DH of the decade of the 70s, Hank Aaron. Starting pitching, Jim Colburn. Jim Slayton, good old number 41. Mike Caldwell, the lefty, number 48. Marty Patton, Larry Sorensen, number 39, I want to say. Closer, my good friend, Bulldog, Kenny Sanders. Kenny Sanders, those of you that are interested in deep diving some old Brewers archives, go look at some of the seasons Kenny had with the Brewers. He was pretty damn good. He really was. So there it is, the team of the decade of the 70s, since it's a 70s theme. Where were you in the 70s, Jeff Orlowski?
Well, I didn't pop out until late 70s. I was born in 77. So, you know, when most of the guys were playing that you were talking about, I was still swimming.
Yeah, yeah, you were. All right, we'll get back at it tomorrow. Brewers go back after it. Does it say Woody's on the Hill?
It does. Right there?
Yeah, okay. Boy, wouldn't that be something?
Yeah, Woody against Merrill Kelly tomorrow. Kelly 2-6 with a 5.04, and Woody sitting at 4-2 with a .127.
1.27 ERA, Burns 2.24, and then Freddie Peralta after tonight, 2.25.
Yes,
that's crazy
please.
Good.
Awesome.
All right, you guys enjoy the rest of your night. Actually, a big day of sports in Milwaukee tomorrow. Brewers with a first pitch at 3:10 after the last pitch. You make the switch right here. Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway. And then the Bucks and Nets go toe-to-toe tomorrow night. I believe that tip is, what, 6:30? So we'll be right around on the air talking about Brewers' victory, hopefully, and talking about a huge Bucks first quarter. How's that sound? We'll meet you here.
You got a prediction for that series?
Ooh, yeah. How about the Bucks in an epic seven?
Okay. All right.
Man, that's crazy. Hey, they've got their big three, so do the Brewers. So hopefully it'll be two victories tomorrow and another big day of sports. For Jeff Orlowski, the Polish Pipe Bomb, my name is Tim Allen. You guys have a great night, and we'll see you tomorrow after the last pitch. You make the switch, and remember, smile, Milwaukee. The world will smile back.